you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Horsefin, nominate now for the $400,000 Grade 2 Penn Mile and the $150,000 Penn Elks. Both races will be run Friday, June 3rd, each at 1 mile on the grass at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Nominations close Wednesday, May 18th. Contact the Penn National Racing Office at 1-800-233-8238. That's 1-800-233-8238. Or go to hollywoodpnrc.com/racing.
The latest racing news. At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two, about 10 minutes in, and actually I'm going to push Hammer back a little bit because James has got to get in here, and then we've got, Gluckson's locked in, and so is Dallas Baker. So we'll get to Hammer in hour three, and actually that'll work out all right. James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
James, quick Preakness thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that, early voting, took advantage of his tactical foot in a field that didn't have a lot of speed in there. He broke on top, but I thought it was a real savvy move by Jose Ortiz to allow that Armagnac to take the lead and just sit there, track it second to the far turn. And he really got the jump on the field. And, to me, Epicenter obviously got off that bad start and such, but I don't think it was a case where, I just think it was a case where he wasn't perhaps I worried he was. I think he may have been a little bit over the top after just so many races and being in serious training since like last fall. It was a 7 start in 7 months, and you know, one thing about Epicenter was he had broken so well from the gate in his stakes starts earlier this year. Even in the Louisiana Derby, he broke well, and I just think you know that poor start cost him. But you know, early voting was the best course on that day, and. You know, he's got a bright future. He's gotten a little bit tired in both of his last two starts, obviously in the stretch, in the Wood Memorial at 1 mile and 8, and in the Preakness at 1 mile and 3/16. But, you know, he's only run 4 times as well. And, you know, with some added maturity and time and these races under him, you know, he's got an extremely bright future, I would have to say, for Chet Brown.
What else struck you out of the race?
Well, I just thought, you know, some horses like, you know, Secret Oath were too far back. But, you know, I just came back a little bit underwhelmed by, you know, the rest of the runners. You know, Creative Minister, you know, ran a good race to me, but I wouldn't just push on ahead to the Beaumont Stakes with him. I'd like to, you know, take a step back and gear up for later this year because he's still a pretty promising horse. You know, one thing about it is, you know, you look at this year, and I just think it was a little bit of an exception where you had Rich Strike, you know, win the Kentucky Derby from the also eligible list. You know, I think 36 hours out from the Kentucky Derby, those connections are thinking Peter Pan and Belmont Stakes, and everybody else in the field, you know, they're 100% sort of in a sense, you know, or, you know, all the main contenders. Are keyed in that if they win the Derby, they're going to the Preakness. So, you know, when Rich Strike wins, you know, he bypasses the Preakness. But to me, I thought that, you know, I look at Saturday's race in there, and it's a big success. You know, the thing that the Triple Crown has going for it in its current format is popularity and handle. You know, Saturday's card did $130 million. And if you're telling me, hey, let's move the Preakness because it's better timing-wise for the horses to Memorial Day and move to Belmont, you know, those cards aren't going to do $130 million on those days. I mean, how does Pimlico make up for the lost handle? So I just think that the dates, you know, and the popularity of the Triple Crown are based upon this five-week window for all three races. And I think it's, you know, it comes down to money. It comes down to, you know, bottom line. And, they did $130 million. And, you know, a lot of people wanted to criticize the quality of the undercard stakes races, and it doesn't matter. People are going to bet the Triple Crown days in the current 4-5 week format. So that was another takeaway I had about it all.
I appreciate it. All right. James, let's dive in. Where are we headed?
I'll start with Churchill Downs. You know, I'll just run through some of these late races in the pick five sequence. I'll start just with race number 7. It's a turf allowance, entry-level allowance race. Scott Shapiro earlier mentioned Evan Singh, and obviously I think that gelding is going to be the favorite horse to beat. But I'm intrigued by number 3, 11 Central. This is a endemissive gelding. 4 years old, didn't make his debut till March. He's like 2-5. You know, he needed a race a little bit, run second, comes back at Horseshoe Indianapolis on Derby Day, and the race goes off the turf, and he wins by about almost 10 lengths. And I just think he has, like, something going for him. He's out of this Sealy Hill, who was a Horse of the Year and turf champion in Canada, you know, a half-brother to 4 stakes winners. 3 turf winners, including grade 1 winner Cambier Park. And I just think he's got – I think this horse has a big upside. I think outside of this horse that's drawn way outside, Evan Singh, and, you know, it's going to be running a little bit from off the pace. I think that it's not that imposing a field. And I don't think there's a lot of speed in it, at least in the main body of it. And it looks like Biscuitza, he gets out of the gate with running with 11 Central. I think he's going to have a real favorable trip on the front end. The price is going to be right.
That's an interesting angle, actually. And I'm just looking now. I pulled up. We were looking with Schaap earlier at some time form pace projections. And, yeah, I'm just looking at this. They've got 11 Central isolated as the speed. And really only a couple of horses that have any interest in being close. Morales has got that Red Hornet for Ann Maya, and Arabian Prince probably stalks for Dallas, Eyes on Target, and Evan Singh. So, yeah, I like it.
And just to move forward, I'll go to race number 9. This is a race where I think that, you know, I'm not going to get a great price on Evan, the sixth horse in there, but to me, like, Dennis's Moment isn't in real good form. Awesome Jerry got up real late and on I thought a track that was favoring off the pace runners. And, you know, just, I mean, he looked good that day, but I just don't see him running right back to it. And to me, Gunnett, just not in real strong form right now. So I think Evan, you know, that race, you know, last time at Keeneland was a solid performance, but I think he's going to continue to move forward upon it. He's first race back at Churchill Downs since last November when he won a pretty solid race. The runner-up in that, he won convincingly, Evan did, and Frosted Grace came back and won a minor stakes this year, so... you know, I think he likes Churchill, he likes his distance, and he's going to get a favorable outside trip. So I like number 6, Evan, in race 9.
You know, James, go back to Dennis's Moment for a minute. That was a very good effort that he turned in at Keeneland. And a return to that effort, I know he's a notorious money burner, but...
Yeah, I mean, you are right about that. You know, that was a definitely finished up full of run that day. It's interesting to see, you know, a horse like Dennis Moment, like, sort of become, like, more of a little bit of a mid-pack, off-the-pace type, you know, now that he's, you know, 5 years old. You know, he used to have more tactical foot, I thought, but... yeah, you're right. He's got something going for him. But I just like Evan going back to Churchill Downs. He has more tactical foot than he showed in that last race to Keeneland. And like I said, I think he's going to get a favorable right. outside trip.
And then you get the right 5-1. 5-1's attractive.
Yeah, exactly. Right price. And the Kirtana Stakes, I do think that the turf is going to have a little bit of give to it after the recent rains. I think that number 1, Stand Tall, she's run her best races on good turf. I mean, those are her last 2 wins. Both came on good turf. She won it a mile and a half, 2 starts back last fall at Keeneland. You know, came back last time and, you know, needed that race from a fitness perspective and was up against Bleecker Street, you know, who just looked real good that day winning. So I think that I think she's going to – And the other thing I like about Stand Tall a little bit is that she has some tactical foot. You got to figure that Laurent Giroux will have her, like, up there in that second tier sitting just off of the outside speed in here. And I just think that Stand Tall looks like, you know, and, you know, going for the red hot Rusty Arnold. Might not get 6-1, but I really like her chances in the Kirtana, Steve.
Very good. So did Schaap.
Yeah, and then I'm also going to be with Schaap in the Churchill Downs. I mean, on the 1s and 2s, that was a really good effort. That Society at Stakes Bound for Asmus and a Gunrunner filly that's 2-2. I will mention a filly, though. This Massard, you know, she's going to be, you know, going to have to step up a little bit in a sense, number 7. But I think she's got a shot to be in the number at double-digit odds. I thought that first race at Sam Houston – the race came back, you know, fast on the Brisnet numbers and 88 speed rating, and the runner-up came right back and won her next race. So that was a real solid effort at first asking for this Nyquist filly. She came back and ran third last time against a pretty solid field, okay field at Oaklawn, and just going to improve upon that, I would think, you know, second time against winners. So I got on the 1s and 2s. I'm going to use the Massad underneath.
Well, I didn't get a chance to bring this up with with Schaap, but I'll mention it with you. The two in here, Ari Oakley, it took her five starts to break her maiden. This is a gun runner, a homebred of Stone Streets out of Bell of Parentown. And in the process of breaking the maiden, has improved with every single start on every single speed metric that anybody could measure. She's had 4 weeks, you know, since that May 1st maiden breaker. If she runs back to that race or should even improve further, I don't see how anybody beats her in here.
Well, I mean, you might be right. I mean, she's going to, you know, I mean, she is the morning line favorite. I mean, I think it's on the one or two, so it will be favored perhaps. It'll be close between them. The one thing I didn't like too much was I watched Pinky Toe come back and run at Churchill here recently, and she ran like fifth and didn't run very well. And I looked at that maiden race again. You know, Insignia, that runner-up, hasn't run back yet for Moquette, but is a Carlin Philly that could, for the West, that could be decent. We'll see. I was a little bit questioning the company, that Pinky Toe race and the company or last race. But you're right. She's a filly that's definitely moving in the right direction for a really good barn.
Well, this is the sibling to Strike It Rich and to Bo Liam and Tomlin. That is a very nice family, that Bell of Parentown. The hair mare that,
and I'll give a price source
no,
real quick at Lone Star on Monday in the C Sexton Mile. I think there's some speed in there. I think there's going to be a good setup for stalkers, off the pace runners. I look at number four, Sheriff Brown, that, you know, faced a lot of good competition, not been real competitive per se, but it's done, you know, some thirds and fourths. Two starts back, you look at the Sunland Park race, he gets a fast pace in there, he comes rolling late, really a sharp win. I thought his last race at Lone Star, they were just walking out front, he raced evenly. I think he's, you know, sort of drawing a line through that. I'm going to look for a better setup, better result from the Sheriff Brown. And he's 12-1 on the morning line for Todd Fincher. So a little bit of a price play in the Steve Sexton Mile, Steve.
Well, Sheriff Brown, part of that unbelievable, you want to talk about a family. This is, you know, this is the sibling of Runaway Ghost and Senior Buscador and all of those out of Rose's Desert. Already himself, if you go back, you know, to his three-year-old year, I mean, he's kept nice company. He's made almost $400,000 for Joe Peacock and big fan. There's actually, for those that are keeping track of this family, there's going to be, she didn't have anything after Senior Buscador, but for 2 years. Then she came back with a candy ride that's been named Eye Candy. So there's a yearling filly. And so watch for that one. And then this year she dropped a hard spun. She's got a weanling by her side. So Joe Peacock continues to, you know, cover Rose's Desert with top notch. She's had a Ghost Zapper, a Curlin, another Ghost Zapper, Runaway Ghost's sister, our Iris Rose, who won $200,000. Then a Senior Buscador was Mine Shaft. Now there's a candy ride and a hard spun. Yikes. Nice.
All righty, Steve. Oh, I got a last-second Friday play at a price. Churchill Downs, race 9, number 5, High Spirits, 15-1. Gennaro Garcia, 25%, second off the claim. This gelding broke slowly last time. Will race closer to the pace. Four of the five wins at this distance, stretching out to a favorable distance, and doesn't face a tough field in this finale. Bayerano rides him back. You're going to get a much better trip in here and run better. And 15-1, 5-horse, race 9, Churchill Downs today.
The FSLP, last-second Friday push from Scully, and that's a big one. The 5 in the 9th race, 4:55 post as we go into the Memorial Day weekend. James, what are you and Gigi? Where's the big barbecue on Monday?
We're doing it here at the house. We're going to have some people over. We got We got the pool open, everything ready. So, yeah, we're going to have some, just take it easy, have some burgers, hot dogs.
Well, for those of you in the Ville, those of you around Louisville, you want to do some grilling, you head over to Frank's on Preston Highway, over to Frank's right behind the fairgrounds, and pick yourself up everything you need for this weekend. And it's got the seal of approval.
Best to you and Tina, Steve, and best good luck this weekend.
You too. There it is. James_Scully 111. TwinSpires and BrizNet team. And you got yourself a bunch of opinions going into the weekend. Jimmy Gluckson's going to join us. And I've got to pull out the Breeders' Cup news because it was a busy week on the Breeders' Cup front. And I wanted Jimmy to walk us through, including this new concept that was introduced yesterday. And you got to applaud Breeders' Cup, who has shown a willingness to, you know, to try new things to bolster the program. And this Dirt Dozen concept. So we'll get to that from Jimmy. And I did some numbers. NBC, on Wednesday, they announced the broadcast schedule, which feels pretty robust. And earlier in the week, we got the full complement of the Win and You're In races, and wasting no time, actually, because even though they haven't drawn the races yet, we certainly can bring up the Shoemaker Mile when we talk to Brad Free next hour. The Shoemaker, the first domestic Win and You're In. There has been already some international action, of course, including in Tokyo and Tokyo Race Course and here and there. Just looking through Argentina, and Kenilworth, so South Africa in January as well. And I mentioned that Jimmy said that he was working on a press release for this weekend, so he must be writing about the action in at Chile at Hippico. So we love Chile, Tina. I think back to our man, Chet Hancock, taught us how to play the South American action. And I think we got Jimmy now. Jim Gluckson of the Breeders' Cup joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, the Gran Premio Club Hippico Falabella in Santiago, Chile on Sunday. That is the Win and You're In that you speak of. Absolutely. Absolutely. We're working on it. Yeah, a mile and a quarter, but it is a Win and You're In for the FanDuel Breeders' Cup Mile. We have a favorite. Looks like the favorite in the race is an outstanding filly named Nenufar Azul, which translates into English as Blue Water Lily. So let's see if she flowers in this race on Sunday. 17 in the field down at Club Hippico.
Well, that's actually a would be a nice Blue Water Lily. Might be a nice name for a domestic horse.
Yeah, we got that. Actually, just jumping in on the winning your in two winning your ins for the mile this weekend for the FanDuel Breeders' Cup Mile course, and on Monday we have our first Breeders' Cup Challenge winning your in series in the U.S. this year with the Shoemaker Mile, the Grade One Shoemaker Mile. Looks like led by defending champion Smooth Like Straight.
Well, we're going to talk to Brad Free later, and they'll draw the Shoemaker today for the Monday action. And I was mentioning, Jimmy, you know what? We'll take this sequence of news from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's what prompted me to reach out to you, because there was just so much that you laid out. The Win and You're In, the whole schedule was released on Tuesday, then NBC on Wednesday, and then this new concept on Thursday. Start with some of the highlights of the 80-plus races in the Win and You're In schedule.
Right. A little revamping this year. In the United States, we've restructured the program, a total of 82 races, but in the U.S., races were more regionalized into one of each part of the country, the East, Midwest, and West, whereby in 11 of the 14 divisions, there will just be one in each of those three regions, one winning your in qualifier, sort of more balance out the schedule between the regions, and also to focus these winners as the representatives from those regions. For example, on Monday, the winner of the Shoemaker Mile will be the Western representative through the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series to compete in the World Championships, bringing a little bit more focus through social media and to fans on these rivalries, which we will often have in our sport, of see California horses coming into Kentucky and trying to knock off the horses from the central part of the country and from the eastern part of the country. I think we're trying to highlight that by pulling that together. The outlier here, though, is the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic Division, of which we'll have a total of 8 qualifiers, 2 overseas, one already we had with the February Stakes back in February in Japan, won by Cafe Ferro, and then the Judmont International at York this summer, this August at York's Ebor Festival will be the European qualifier. But we have 6 U.S. qualifiers for the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic. 4 of those will be televised on the NBC NBC Sports broadcasting of the Breeders' Cup Challenge Winning Your In Series presented by America's Best Racing, those being the Stephen Foster, the TVG Haskell, 2 at Saratoga, the Whitney, and the Jockey Club Gold Cup. So that's sort of a mouthful to beginning with on the Challenge Series.
Well, and any new races that turned up domestically?
Well, the King Stand, we have actually the Beverly D, formerly at Arlington, will be in the series this year at Churchill Downs. That's one change that off the top of my head I can make, and also overseas, the King Stand Stakes at Royal Ascot will be in the series this year, the Turf Sprint.
Nice. I'm just looking at, in fact, you know, once we get, Jimmy, once I'm looking at this, once we get through this weekend and as we get close to Belmont, obviously, very big start, really from Belmont weekend. Going forward, things will really pick up the pace between Ascot and Belmont Weekend. The Met, the Jiper, and the Ogden Phipps. That is noteworthy. And then we come back, and after Belmont, basically, you're staring at the summer season. And it's chock full all August.
Big races, Saratoga and Del Mar in August.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then swing up into Woodbine. Kentucky Downs getting some attention, and
they've been in the program a couple of years now. Absolutely, a big sprint, Calumet Turf Cup, and the FanDuel Sprint, a big turf sprint of big races at Kentucky Downs. Absolutely.
Well, and I think NBC is even going to
NBC right? will be
NBC's
there.
NBC's going to be there.
Exactly.
Rick will talk September 10th, and I'll be there actually myself. I'm looking forward to that. It really is. All right, and then so let's segue from the overall schedule. Looking at the TV highlights, as mentioned, obviously Belmont Day with the Met, the Phipps, and the Jiper for the Dirt Mile, the Distaff, and the Turf Sprint, and of course the Jiper. An exclusive opportunity at a grade one going short on the grass for everybody. And it's become just a huge, you know, early summer target, Jimmy. It's a great race.
Yeah, it is terrific. This is a sort of like a Belmont to the Breeders' Cup kickoff with incorporating this schedule with NBC Sports and a terrific partner in America's Best Racing. To put that focus on that great card at Belmont Park all the way through in those three races that you mentioned. So I think, that's a blockbuster day and a great way to begin.
The Classic and the Distaff for the Foster and the Fleur de Lis on July 2nd. Then we come to Monmouth, looking forward to being down at Oceanport, and that'll be actually on CNBC.
Right.
Fun being incorporated, our broadcast from Monmouth.
Yeah, this is our three-year-old Classic qualifier, a special race we've had over the years in our relationship working with Monmouth Park. And some great participants over the years, and obviously the American Pharoah winning it in 2015 is a great example of that.
We got early first Saturday in August, the Whitney telecast, and then the Jockey Club Gold Cup Flower Bowl broadcast for the Classic and the Filly and Mare Turf at the end of the Saratoga meet. Then there's that Kentucky Downs action, and things round out at Belmont and Keeneland Fall Stars weekend, the 8th and the 9th, with just about all the ones you'd expect. The TCA, the Breeders' Futurity, the, don't know if it's still going to be, is it changed from Shadwell Turf Mile to something else, the Spinster, the Bourbon, and the Indian Summer, and the two-year-old features at Belmont on October 1st, the Champagne, so productive this year, and the Miss Griot as well for the Juvenile Phillies Turf. There's NBC's schedule for the summer and fall.
Closing out well right at Keeneland, for a Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, makes it all that more intriguing. So we should see some big fields there.
Jim Gluckson with us from Breeders' Cup. And, Jimmy, the news yesterday was really, this was, you know, I probably didn't get a lot of attention yet, but for those that didn't see it, this Dirt Dozen concept, and I saw the quotes from Dora Delgado, and in view of those shortish fields for three of the seven races, clearly some real thought and a response went into this. The Juvenile Phillies last year with six, the Filly and Mare Sprint with just five, eight in the Dirt Mile, 11 in the Juvenile, nine in the Sprint, 11 in the Distaff, eight in the Classic. And here is not a win and you're in, but here's a nice credit voucher for participants to pay for their way into the races, respectively.
Yeah, Steve, you hit it very well. You have to be innovative here and continue to keep an eye on how things are going. And you want to continue. We want to continue to support our efforts for our horsemen to continue for solid participation in the Breeders' Cup World Championships. And this is just another way for horsemen to have an opportunity to earn credits for these dirt races to get into the World Championships. Especially, you know, you have you run the gamut from those who don't run regularly for maybe smaller outfits, giving them an opportunity to defray costs from the cost of a $2 million race, for example, which is a $60,000 entry fee, or a $1 million race, which is a $30,000 entry fee. So you can defray costs by winning a race in the $1 million divisions by earning $15,000, and you can earn as much as $30,000 in a dirt race in the Dirt Dozen program by winning a $2 million race. The program did ensue during Kentucky Derby weekend with the Derby City Distaff, which is run by Obligatory, who got the $30,000. Stable earned $30,000 for that victory. And so this is another way to encourage participation in the World Championships among the 12 races that will go from this point on, right on through October 1, at Santa Anita, Del Mar, Churchill Downs, and of course on the way to the World Championships.
Jim, is there a working goal or target that you're hoping, you know, if we look at those seven races, they basically average, you know, there are 58 horses in those seven races, so just over eight plus. Is there a goal in mind or, you know, does whatever it impact and however many extra horses it can glean, you know, as the thing you know, garners awareness and so forth. I mean, you know, what's your hope that that this does in terms of adding horses to these fields?
I think it's not fair to speculate on specific numbers of horses for increase, but that could certainly look at an increase for the dirt races. I think if you can have a few more horses in here, it's all great. That's what we want to see, but not to get into really any specific numbers. We do want to see increases where we can.
Was there any, I mean, obviously, you know, an event like Breeders' Cup, you know, it's got 363 days to, to discuss what happened the previous year. Was there any determination, essentially, of what prevented, and undoubtedly certain divisions are going to be more on an annual basis, you know, there's going to be vagaries, and there's going to be some divisions that are kind of bereft of contenders. I mean, we all kind of knew that the filly and mare sprint division was kind of lacking as the year was going on, but some of that is just haphazard and retirements, and, you know, brood mares are in demand, etc. But was there any conclusions drawn about, I mean, obviously there were conclusions of some ilk to generate an idea like this on a program like this?
Well, I think you're hitting on a variety of things that are factors, but let's just say, you know, for example, over the years, prohibitive favorites have dissuaded some outfits who might be on the fence from entering into a Breeders' Cup, a World Championships race.
There you go.
And for example, like but last year you have a situation where you had three heavy favorites, Jackie's Warrior, Gamin, and Latruska, who were all defeated. So you never know.
Yep.
And I think that those are, in certain years, those factors are in play. Last year we had three situations such as that. So that's something to consider when it comes to that as a factor. But you never know from one year to the next, from the region you change from one region to the next. So there are things to consider, but certainly that's one of them. And you don't know from year to year about what will bring more horses to your event. So you try to work towards getting as many as you can.
Exactly. But it also, you know, it also demonstrates, you know, Breeders' Cup's commitment and you know, I suppose 10 years ago we had a discussion about winning you're in, you know, when people kind of rolled their eyes and thought, meh, okay. And that thing has been, you know, a tremendous success. So,
thank you. A tremendous success internationally. 40 runners came in last year to participate. And you've got a situation where you have, certainly even for the bigger outfits, who, you know, if they can get in the free entry, they can bring another horse. I think that's also been a positive factor about coming in and participating. So, you know, it has been, really a great deal of interest. And I think especially this year, with focusing and more identifying on the special nature of rewarding our participants who are competing in this program and winning these races, to identify them in the United States as which region they're coming from and representing that region in the World Championships.
Jim Gluckson, I spent more time with you here just now than I did at Churchill. I saw you coming and going a few times, and had about 3 minutes with you. So I'm glad to visit. And we got the Belmont week. Obviously, we'll see you then. And we got the summer, great summer ahead. Wanted to make sure everybody was up to speed on all the Breeders' Cup news. It was a busy week for you.
Thank you, Steve, and I appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you at Belmont. If I get one more plug in here, tickets for the Breeders' Cup World Championships available at breederscup.com.
There we go. And, oh, my God, we're Keeneland.
At Keeneland, November 4 or 5.
took me a second to think, wait a minute, where are we going? All right.
Thank you.
Jimmy, be well. Have a great holiday weekend. What are you... What are you and the gal pal doing?
Well, Claire and I are just going to relax, take it easy, go to the pool maybe, and catch some of the races on the screen here.
Outstanding. Jim Gluckson, everybody, BC Racing guy, and Jimmy, see you soon. Thanks. Jim Gluckson, folks, and that was just too much. There's stuff every day. There was another press. I guess that's, I should know some of that in terms of the way press flacks work, considering my brother. My brother's a Broadway press flack. He's a press agent. So I should really know that. They churned it out this week, Breeders' Cup. So all of that stuff is out and about at the trade journals and the schedule, and including those Ascot races. And, of course, once Belmont wraps up, you know, Belmont Saturday, and then next thing you know, starting on the, Tuesday after Belmont, we swing into the Ascot coverage. We have so much fun. So Ascot, day one, King Stand and Queen Anne are both wins and urines. The Prince of Wales is on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, the Norfolk, where I'm sure Wesley is going to be well represented. And then when they come back in July at Ascot, the King George and Queen Elizabeth. And did Jimmy say the King's Stand too? On the turf sprint, didn't he say King's Stand? I don't see it on this list. Huh. I thought, oh no, there it is. Yeah, I'm sorry. I said King Stand. Okay. All right. Dallas Baker is going to join us next, and we'll get that update. I wanted to get that in. Pull that out. There we go. Fixed odds. Beautiful. And if you haven't had a chance to look ahead to the Santa Anita action, they've got the five Gold Rush stakes on Saturday. We'll get some opinions for Saturday and Sunday. The Monday card's being drawn today. But the Honeymoon, they got the five state bred races, and they didn't get huge fields. But then we get into Saturday and the Daytona down the hill, which that's been one thing about the season this year at Santa Anita. I really have appreciated the return to the hill course. Just a six pack for the Daytona. And then the Triple Bend as well, and the Honeymoon are the three stakes. And we'll talk about the bigger ones, at least have Brad Free give us you know, a feel for the expectations for the Gold Cup, Hollywood Gold Cup, and the Shoemaker, etc. on Sunday. I hear Dallas Baker coming to us from Jersey, and we're just three weekends in. It's just a very small sample, but the early fixed odds results and interest levels and mechanism has been well received. Dallas, good morning.
Hey, hello, Mike. Great to speak to you again.
I mentioned this last week, but of course we were getting busy into Preakness weekend. So here's a perfect opportunity, a very big holiday weekend, and give everybody, I know it's only five cards after the Saturday, opening Saturday was washed away, but give everybody a snapshot of how it's going and the response.
Yeah, Steve, I think, you know, as we always said, the early stages is all about getting it up and running, obviously ironing out a few of the kinks, but when you put something together, you're going to have that in the background. But, you know, essentially from a customer point of view, the bets are all processing through. You know, there's a couple of things, you know, we always wanted from the bet maker's point of view to deliver the absolute gold standard. So there's a few little things in the back end that we're playing on to make it easier for everybody. And that's mainly for our back end traders and our own system. So just continue to work through that, and as we've always said, we just want to improve on it week on week. But the most important thing is that we are up and running. We're taking fixed odds bets on course. naturally, the program that we're launching, the Monmouth On Course part of it, is a very, very, very small part of it. This is all about getting it ready to roll it onto the online wagering operators and also online with Monmouth Bets, which won't be too far off. And then, obviously, then building the base to then take it out to other states. So, we're still in the very embryonic stages, Steve, but we're pretty pleased with how those early stages are going. So firstly, to take the first bet was a very important milestone, but to have it rolling through and to seeing the response at Monmouth, even though we've only had relatively small crowds, as you mentioned, we got washed out on day one, which was going to be the biggest crowd of the season so far. From as the crowds are building and that, people are starting to understand how to play fixed odds and starting to get a feel for it. And essentially, I mean, the number one thing is that I think we're definitely improving the customer service, because there's people who are backing horses that are getting a far better price on fixed odds than they would have got on the toast. So that's the most important thing, is, you know, servicing the customer. We service start servicing the customer better, and hopefully that's the start of the turnaround for the racing industry.
Dallas Baker with us from BetMakers, administering the fixed odds just a few weekends in. And this feels like an important weekend, certainly the start of the summer season, and people opening, I imagine, the shore, their houses at the shore and so forth. So attendance should start to kind of tick up. Give everybody, Dallas, also a timetable for, you know, the next level and the next steps, including online and wider offerings.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. So, yeah. I mean, as mentioned, the most important thing we've always said is to make sure we don't go to the next step before we're 100% satisfied with where we're at. Hopefully, a lot of those things are sorted this weekend, and then we can move on. The next wave out of, I suppose, the next milestone, or whatever you want to call it from our point of view, is to bring in the other tracks from around the US to start with, to add to that content level. At the moment, we're just betting at Monmouth, on Monmouth. In the background, our app is being finalised, and then that'll be Monmouth Bets will be probably most likely the first online presence. That we're all basically structuring that to have everything as much as we possibly can running on rails by Haskell time. So you'll start seeing probably those rollouts of extra content in the next couple of weeks with the app, probably around about a month off or thereabouts. And then, obviously, when we start talking about being online, then that'll be available to everybody in New Jersey, not just those who can make it to Monmouth on a race day. But then we'll start rolling it out, and then you'll start seeing the online wagering operators start taking it up. And then with that, too, we'll see the international content rolling in. Obviously, at the moment, with the time zones and be only opened in, you know, essentially business hours, or effectively race days at Monmouth at the moment, not a lot of point to have a lot of international content, because most of the content is outside of the time we'd be open. But as soon as that becomes relevant, that's all ready to go. So it's sort of we're doing it in a very careful staged process to make sure it's all right. And then obviously, when you start pumping it out to the online bookmakers, you want to make sure that everything is running absolutely perfectly. So no real finite, you know, weeks or days or months or whatever. It's just working through the processes and all the little nuances and challenges that come out, and playing the game of whack-a-mole at the moment. when you fix one thing, another couple of other things come up, which is all the beautiful world of the technical world that I don't really understand. But that's all part of the process. So that's the sort of the timeline. And we're happy with how it's really happy with how it's going. And it's a very, very, very small base for what we see as being a very significant thing for the racing industry.
Dallas, has anything surprised you, or what learning has cropped up already that that you hadn't necessarily anticipated, good or bad? It doesn't have to be a problem or a negative, but I know you're there on site every day, so you're talking to players that are making, and I'm sure in a lot of cases, most cases, their first fixed odds wager, etc. Give us some anecdote and some feel for that.
Well, I think a lot of the pleasing stuff, obviously, is seeing people come up to you after the race and saying, "Oh, I went off at 2-1 on the tote, but I got 4-1 with you throughout betting." You know, that's the real pleasing thing, is to see that extra value. I think, roughly in about 70% of the races, the fixed odds price, the closing price, has been better than the tote price. But then again, that's just the closing price, and obviously, with fluctuations throughout, those prices have generally been better prices bet throughout the betting cycle. So I think that's been the anecdotal stuff coming back, is mainly how people are really enjoying it, slowly getting themselves used to it. The fact that we use decimal odds is, obviously a little bit confusing at the start, and we knew that was going to be the case. But we also know, for the audience that we're trying to attract, which is the age group that may have been aging out in racing, which are predominantly the age groups on sports betting websites, the decimal odds is the easiest way to explain it rather than fractional. And we knew that was going to be a bit of a learning process. But pleasingly enough, people are starting to pick up. And, the easiest thing to do with decimal odds is that includes your stake in it. So if it's $21 decimal, it means it's a 20-1 chance fractional. So that little educating process has been probably a little trickier than we thought it would be, but it's also starting to resonate now too. And I think as soon as people start taking the challenge of getting their head around it, it does make it an easier system to calculate what your end result is at the end of the day. So that's been one of the challenges, and also then the from a behind the scenes point of view, is the nuances of US racing, which we're sort of trying to make it as automated as possible. Like our systems are generally European or Australian systems, and so your win, place and show doesn't exist, because there's only win and place in those markets, and then the off the turf races as well too, working out what the absolute best system for dealing with that is as well too. But they're all things that we had down. I mean, they're not surprises to us. They're all things that we knew that we needed to work. We'd have to work through for the automated world, and you've been sort of dealing with those. So they've been probably the challenges, but not challenges that we didn't expect or didn't plan for either. So I mean, it is really functioning as we expected it to do. And just working, as I keep saying, working through those stages of getting it to running on rails.
Well, and from the start, and from our conversation a few weeks ago on opening week at Monmouth, talked about Haskell being kind of the down the road. It's really not that far down the road now, especially once we get through this holiday weekend, and when we get to New York, we'll just be 5-6 weeks away from.
Yeah,
from Haskell. So
yeah, absolutely.
In terms of timing, what other layers will be introduced between now and the end of July?
Well, the main thing is the online presence. The online presence is the big thing. Obviously, the couple of little technical things that we need to fix need to happen before that. But we're moving towards having that. Definitely working towards having that that up and running well before Haskell. So that's our main goal, is to have that ready for Haskell time.
That was on track, and the two stations. There's two stations existing right now at the first floor grandstand, and then in the clubhouse. Can people also bet on the terminals? Can they get the fixed odds throughout the rest of the track, or do they have to go to those two locations?
Yeah, for the on-track presence too, that's one of the key rollouts. Steve, we've also There's been a pretty big off-season for Monmouth. One of the next things that we're doing is we've got probably about 150 new state-of-the-art teller machines that are ready to roll out. When they're rolled out, that'll be dual purpose. So they were just a little bit slow in getting across with the supply chain issues that everyone's been experiencing in the US. But as soon as those machines are rolled out, we'll be able to do both. Again, as you mentioned, we only started with, I think we've got about 7 tellers all up. We've got a couple of, for those who are going to Monmouth and do like the picnic area, there are a couple of new ones ready to roll this weekend up in the picnic area. So we've expanded that a little bit for this week. Once the plan is, again, for Haskell weekend, is to have all those new terminals installed and ready to go, which will not only obviously make it a lot easier for everyone to either have a tote bet or a fixed odds bet on the one terminal, but will also improve the level of customer service for the people who just want to have tote bets as well too, because the machines, Steve, are actually modern machines, which I don't think any of us from tote companies could be accused of actually rolling out for quite a while, but they're all ready to go. So as soon as they're rolled out, it'll be basically available from everywhere. But again, also too, as part of the process is, we just wanted to have a controlled environment that we can, make sure everything's running perfectly before taking the bigger steps. So, but that's all part of the Haskell plan, is to have all of those new machines rolled out to as many locations as possible around the course, and not only for the fixed odds purposes, but for also from the tote purposes as well too.
Dallas Baker, BetMakers, everybody, and the Fixed Odds program continues to resonate and draw interest. And those of you that are going to be at Monmouth, this is always a great weekend at Monmouth. And I know they got the Food Truck Festival the next 3 days. You got the Jersey Derby this weekend, the Cliffhanger, and I think the Miss Liberty on Monday. They'll draw today. So it should be a terrific weekend for every aspect of Fast Times on the Jersey Shore. And Dallas, I appreciate this. I wanted to get a quick temperature take, and we'll check in with you every few weeks.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Steve. But I think to use an analogy, the train has left the station, but it's the train has got a very long journey to take as well too. But the most important thing is we've taken the first little steps or first movement along the path, and we know that it's a long path, and that's what we've always said. It takes a month, 6 months, 12 months to get it up and running, the most important thing is getting it right in this stage, and then keep making that progression, and then hopefully sometime in the next couple of years we're looking back at it and saying, yeah, that was a good idea, and we start calculating all the benefits for the industry.
Exactly. Well put. Dallas Baker, everybody, BetMakers, Fixed Odds at Monmouth Park, as well as the Sportsbook, and really looking forward, not long now, to be down to broadcast ahead of the Haskell. Dallas, thanks a lot. Enjoy the holiday weekend, and we'll talk to you in the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, Steve. Good luck to everyone, and enjoy.
Dallas Baker. Let's take a break here. Last of the morning, when we come back, hour three, Nick Tamaro. We're going to do a little cross-country pick five. And there's actually going to be a Monday holiday weekend, Memorial Day cross-country pick five announced later today based on the draws. And, of course, it's state-bred New York Showcase on Monday at Belmont. And we'll see what they pair it up with. I don't know if the winning colors at I think just a 6-horse field. We'll see. But they'll put that together later. Brad Free as well at Santa Anita. And Hammer, hour three. When we come back at the races, weekend preview brought to you by Twin Spire. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals.